All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast, MWWire.com. That's our website. If you weren't familiar and you stumbled across us, Andy, somehow randomly, like, hey, let's download this weird podcast we found because of the basketball and it's Mountain West. And you never heard of our website? Well, I'm Jeremy. That's Andy. And we're talking hoops and upsets.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to it. What we typically do, if you listen to us before, again, Andy, I'm catering to the new listener here. We talk about our power rankings. Yeah, our power rankings every week, which are getting less and less talk about San Jose State. And I guess New Mexico, too. But we'll see about that. But we go through those really quick just because there's a ton of games. Games are weird, series and stuff. But the news we have, I brought to you before, which you were not prepared for, which is fine because it just broke out. NCAA tournament protocols by traveling to the assignment of games. Am I correct? Every game's in Indianapolis area, correct?
It's all in Indiana. I think some are in, you know, West Lafayette, where Purdue is, and what was the other? They're close enough, though. I think Bloomington, right, where Indiana.
Hinkle Fieldhouse, I heard that's a place.
Right? Yeah, Hinkle Fieldhouse, I know. And then the whatever the big one is, I think, where the Pacers play.
Oh, yeah, that's changed a million times.
Conseco?
It used to be, at least. Are they doing Indiana? Yeah, Luke?
I don't know if they...
I think they're also doing Lucas Oil Field with two courts, the football arena, football stadium. But what we're getting at here is that news broke earlier today, CBS obtained this, where basically it's a step-by-step guide of how to travel from your conference tournament to the NCAA tournament in Indiana. And I guess Indianapolis is their meeting point. So we're going to go through this really quick because some of it's interesting, some of it's fine. But I was talking to you before, and I was going to pepper you, Andy, because you haven't read through all this because I saw it earlier. So one of the most interesting things in the beginning is that if you're within 350 miles of making a bus, do you want to bus 6 hours after your games? Because that's about what it is, because those big charter buses don't go very fast, like compared to cars. And 350 miles, if you're the peak away, you're going, what, 60 miles an hour? That's what, 6 hours, right?
Yeah, no, that's not fun at all. I mean, I take the Greyhound, well, you know, back in the before times I would, you know, I'd take the Greyhound from Portland back to Corvallis sometimes, and I don't even want to be on the bus for that hour or, you know, hour and a half or whatever it is. So yeah, no, I do not want to be on that bus. Isn't there like a ton of restrictions on what you can do on the bus as well?
Yeah. Part of it too is like, well, first off, this is to combat COVID-19 positive tests, which I get they want to do the straight shot where you stay in the arena. If you're like Saturday, or if you're the Sunday game, or I guess even if you're knocked out, we'll get to that in a minute. But some restrictions are: is also flying. You cannot drink or eat while traveling via bus or plane. So, like, what if you are? What's the longest flight you think is the Pac-12 tournament in LA this year? No, Vegas. It's always in Vegas. That's right. Like, yeah. Vegas, Indies. I guess it's not a long flight from anywhere, but it's still got to be annoying, right? Especially if you played Sunday afternoon, like the Big Ten game or the American game, which is always like it butting into the Selection Sunday. Like,
right.
You're not going to eat. I guess you wait and eat, go later that day. But, like, the travel thing, that's a weird restriction. They're also requiring goggles, face shields. Okay, they'll be provided and suggested as extra measures. Masks are obviously mandated, they want on the bus. So, like, do you think these guys, like, are wearing masks all the time on the plane with just their team?
I mean, probably not. I don't know. I think everybody, I think some people are probably very, 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 you know, good about always having the mask on, always keeping, never, you know, never letting your guard down and keeping all the time. But I think it's just kind of natural to get comfortable where you are. I mean, like you said, you know, it's going to be multiple hours. I mean, no. I know
the reason think, I'm know, not. I'm not. We're not bashing, but
are following the protocol. Yeah. No, and I mean, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying my point being like I'm not saying it's bad to do or not, but you're already around these guys all the time, and so it's like, well, what's the point of play basketball around them?
Right.
And they probably do. Like, it's kind of like, hey, put them on, but like you're around them enough where it's not like you have like a little pod system where it's just you guys hanging out in your apartment or it's your roommates or whatever. It's still stuff that happens. We've seen it, but they're probably think, oh, well, we're around these guys all the time. So I'm not trying to throw you a bus or like getting your hot take on mask wear.
Yeah. Well, then they're going to get off the plane or the bus, and then they're going to go on a court and, you know, not wear masks. You know, the players anyway. Yeah. Well, and then the coaches are going to be on the sidelines wearing the mask until someone gets close to them.
Yeah.
And then they have to take off the mask so that they can talk to each other.
But you're close. What's the point of doing that? I
know. Right? It's like, don't take off the mask the closer you get. That's the opposite of what you want to do.
So here's something as well. A couple other things here. So if you're an auto bid team, you're asked to go directly from your destination to Indianapolis. So there's no going home or anything because before you have like 4 or 5 days, but now the tournament still starts on, what's the date? The Thursday is the first four, right? And it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah. So that's right. Exactly. March 18th is the first day of the tournament.
That's right. So there's a couple days in between, like, it's not enough to be a quarantine period, but it just like going straight there is better than going home and going back because multiple places. So if you're not auto bidding, go directly there, which it makes sense. So they want you in there like maybe Saturday night if your most tournaments on Saturday. So like Saturday night, Sunday morning, depending what time your game is. Like I know the Big West game sometimes starts like at 10 local time Pacific. I'm like, come on, what are you guys doing? Like you're ruining those guys' life. But all 31 bids have to come right Saturday or Sunday. And then all day Monday is reserved for the at-large teams. So here's the interesting thing. Even if you're a lock, you have to wait till you're official on the bracket, which, sure, I guess. I don't know. But then...
Yeah, I mean, if you...
That's odd.
Yeah.
Like, if you're telling me if a team that's number two in the Big Ten, well, you just got to wait until you're called. But Big Ten doesn't matter. But I guess... Also, it doesn't... I guess the only thing that's weird, like... Right. If you're not like the Big Ten, what are they getting? 9 bids, probably 10 bids.
Yeah, I think they're getting a little more than just the one automatic bid.
Yeah, well, a little bit more. Good call. But like they play their tournaments, their team's gonna be knocked out in the quarterfinal round, and have to wait. And they're probably still gonna get them, but they have to. First off, you're spending more money, which who cares? What money matters? Like you're spending a couple more days in your hotel just to wait, instead of. I guess bus it if you want to take the slow trip. But you have to wait in your hotel until you go. So you have to spend more money doing that, just watching no matter what. And then one example is like, what if you're Gonzaga, who plays the tournament a week before, essentially? Are they're going to make them stay in Vegas for a week and not go home if somehow BYU wins the West Coast Conference tournament?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like at that point, yeah. I mean, I think by the letter of the law or whatever, you know, it seems like in a case like Gonzaga's, the selection committee should be able to make a call to them and say, hey, let's save you guys that extra, $10,000. I'm just going to ballpark a number. To keep those 20 people or whatever it is in the hotel for a couple extra days. I think it would be cool, especially, I don't know if the NCAA is still going to do the thing that they've been doing the last few years where they they release the top 16 seeds or whatever. Mm. It's like anybody who's in that list, you should really be
directly go. Pasco, get your 200 bucks.
Yeah, at least somebody who's like on the one line. It's like, hey, cool. If you made it into that little graphic that we showed a month before the tournament, then you get to come early. But yeah, I mean, I understand why you want to have rules and stuff like that in place when it makes sense. For something like this, especially since it's hopefully a one-off situation, you'd think that, you know, you can kind of bend your own rules a little bit and, put in a call to Gonzaga so they're not sitting there for a week. But
because what's the difference? Because
they're going.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference. Like, if you're a team in the whatever big tournament and you're out in the quarter semis, it's like 2 days, whatever. But they could still leave they could go back home and still leave the same time everybody else will be leaving. Like, say you're if you're out Friday night or whatever, you're waiting. Okay, we know we're going to go. We got to officially wait till Sunday at 6 Eastern to go. Like, what's the harm of them going back home? I know we're diving too deep into this. It's just an interesting conversation. Where they go back home, they can still leave at Sunday at the same time, had their tournament been in Vegas, and their exposure to everybody else is probably the same. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I wonder too, like, imagine that it's not – Gonzaga or BYU, let's say, because BYU kind of still has a chance to maybe get one of those at-larges.
Sure, yeah.
I think it would be interesting, you know, to see what happens if, like, Gonzaga is a sure thing, like 100%, you're definitely going to be in, you're probably going to be one of the one seeds, and, you know, BYU's on the bubble. I wonder if this selection committee would, like, call Gonzaga and be like, hey, you guys can come, but BYU, you guys stay in the hotel just a little bit longer. We haven't decided on you guys yet.
Also, interesting, you know, everybody's getting their own hotel room, which is good. It makes sense. Like,
each individual person from each traveling party?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's who's paying for that? I don't know. But then you have obviously eat in your only room. That's designated rooms to eat. No scouting other teams. Like, you can only scout by video for future opponents. And then I guess the only other thing is that, which I do like this idea, the charter, the bus and plane, they're spreading you out. But and they can only do so much when you're in a small train, plane or bus, right? But they're spreading them out everywhere. So that was an interesting thing. I looked through that. I thought that was some stuff people would want to know. No bands allowed, maybe the Final Four, possibly. To attend, you have to have like 7 straight negative tests to depart for Indy, which is weird because, I guess, travel party. Does travel party include players? I'm assuming it would, right?
Yeah, it's like players, coaches, and any, like, you know, trainers or any other staff that you need to bring along with you. That's your traveling party.
So, yeah, I guess you need 7 straight negative tests to depart for Indy, which could be interesting to see depending if I guess if you're out anyways 2 weeks anyway, essentially. But that's that part. But then also another interesting thing we'll get to also CBS. 27% of coaches don't want the conference tournament. So
including at least one of our Mountain West coaches.
Yeah, Nico Medved, I'm pulling up his quote now, but he is kind of – he understands why it would happen, but he's like the risk isn't really worth it for some leagues, but some it is. Because, if, like you mentioned, the Big Ten's like, who cares? Like, how many extra teams are going to get in? Because I don't follow the Big Ten close, so you probably do more than me. But, like, how many teams are – are there any teams that are bubble teams really in the Big Ten? I guess even maybe 10 or 11, right?
Yeah, I mean, eventually the teams are going to play each other enough to where they're going to start to kind of squeeze each other out towards those ends. But yeah, I mean, you're going to have teams like Maryland or Indiana, you know, some Penn State maybe, where you're like, I don't know, they're good. They're definitely good enough to be in the tournament, you would think, you know, from a roster's perspective. But yeah, so you're going to have some bubble teams, but I don't think you're going to get – I don't think the conference tournaments are really going to be that helpful this year. They're, you know, they're kind of nice spectacle most years, but I think this year is one where you might have to put aside a little bit of the spectacle.
Yeah, because Medved was like –
right, like
– he could see it either way. His basically quote was, I think we need to be nimble and we don't need to lock ourselves into anything because it's in January. Right now, it's not even February yet, which I'm going to guarantee there's going to be a number. You can quote me on it, bring it back. There'll be a number of leagues that say, we're not doing it. Also, you know who doesn't want to do it? One bid leagues.
Like the A-Sign,
the SWAC, the team.
Totally. Like, why?
Risk but your you champion. Need
money if you're one of those leagues.
But nobody's going to the games, right? Like, how many games are on TV?
But are you locked into a media deal? I thought the same thing, and I was like, just cancel it. It doesn't make any sense. And I was talking to someone about it, and they said, well, that might get a little tricky with the media deals. They might have to put them on even if the conference doesn't want to because, you know, of whatever deal they signed. And I was like, you know, whatever lawyer forgot to put in the force majeure clause.
No, I never want to hear force majeure again. I heard it last week. No, stop it. It's back again. First the NBA and now
right,
this.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You're a lawyer, right, so you got to
I won't bring it up on the pod anymore.
No, it's like, who knows? It's like, technically, I think, who was it? Coach O in LSU, like, technically could have been out because of that if they wanted to, really, this past year. Because they didn't expect him to be winning the national title in 2020 last year. But, yeah, like, Medved sees it either way, which it makes sense. Like, do you need money? Like, if you're – I can see both ways. If you're the Big Ten, like, why do you want it anyways? Why risk one of your – it's double-edged sword. Why risk one of your best teams losing a player for 2 weeks and you may be out till the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 and you got to make it that far, first of all, to have them come back? Or like when I said, like if you're a small one bid league, well, let's protect our Big West champion, but you got the one game on ESPNU at midnight Eastern, and that's all it's televised. Like, I'm not sure every – some leagues are different. Some are on ESPN Plus. Some are, like, I guess, technically like a Fox Sports Regional for, like, if you're the MAC or some smaller leagues. Or they may not even broadcast at all, just streaming like the WAC. I think they're mostly streaming. Like, what does it really matter? Like the, I don't know.
I know, like, the Conference USA has their own I thought it was sort of set up like stadium, like Mountain West and West Coast Conference mm-hmm. have, but like you go to watch a CUSA game and it's behind a paywall, like a separate Conference USA paywall. So I don't really ever watch Conference USA yeah. games, unfortunately. I know like the Colonial is through Flow Hoops.
Yeah,
that's who they're.
That's different. That's not with. But that's not like a league thing. But no, your point's taken where. They want to get every ounce out of that, which I don't know how much there is on Flow Sports for C Colonial right. basketball.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, that one seems like maybe not quite as big of a media. I don't know though. I don't know what those deals are, or what kind of headaches those are going to cause. I will say for our league, for the Mountain West, mm-hmm. the tournament could be really dangerous because you think about.
What we just saw last night.
Well, yeah, exactly. We've got teams that are on a knife's edge. People are kind of throwing around four bid Mountain West. We even talked about it last week a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And you know, it was a nice thought, but we realized this league is tough. And like we saw on Monday this week, UNLV beat Utah State. That's going to make it tough.
Colorado for Utah State to last get week. Large bid. CSU yeah, split, and now exactly. they're 2-2 versus San Diego State and Utah State. Like Utah yeah, State's lost, they lost to CSU, lost to UNLV. So you're right. Like, there's no like San Diego State's on a. No, I'm not gonna say a downturn, but they stumbled. The only thing right now is Boise State. But like we mentioned before with Larry, like if we're gonna say, is there any team we guarantee an at-large bid right now? I'm gonna say no, even though we probably think there'll be at least two. Or well, I think there's gonna be two regardless. Right. But like if we're gonna say is San Diego State an at-large team right now, even Boise State, I'd still say no. Like, I wouldn't guarantee any team getting out large bid at this point. So.
I wouldn't guarantee it necessarily, no. Yeah.
Like, and it'll so happen, we don't know team, who.
If you get a team that, like, runs through the Mountain West tournament, you know, say, like, that wasn't supposed to, maybe, like, a UNLV, a Nevada, a Wyoming, and they win the thing and they beat some of those teams in doing it, you could end up with this, like really bad situation where all of a sudden the Mountain West is a one bid league with. You know, Nevada as its representative.
Colorado State proving they can do it. CSU showing they can do it. So like, maybe the Rams somehow. Nico Medved's like I don't know. So what? I like also interesting note there. It's like teams can just opt out because is anybody really going to blame you? And public shaming won't do anything, right? It's like, oh, you're going to not play to secure your bid. I don't think the selection committee will care really. Like, especially if you're...
And it's too late for them to come out now, I feel like, and say, oh, you have to play in a conference tournament to get a bid. We decided it's a criteria. Like, you needed to set that criteria up when you were deciding what the criteria for the whole season was. And I know it, like, was supposed to shift and stuff, but you can't make it more restrictive. You can only make it less restrictive, in my mind, in terms of who's eligible for the tournament and all that good stuff.
And so that, and then this thing that we talked about money, here's a note too in the same piece that goes to get a sense how much a financial penalty it could be if a team opts out not to play. Like they could withhold tournament shares, which are very valuable, especially if you're a team that's not going to go to the NCAA tournaments. Like those shares are a pretty big deal. And so it mentions here, like what recourse could a conference have? Well, one source with television contracts, as we mentioned, because it said if it's a program decision with the conference would have the power to revoke league tournament payments. So not shares for NCAA tournament, but league tournament payments, wherever that is. And with people drowning in money and debt for no fans and stands and not making money, American Conference makes somewhere around $300,000 off its league in a league championship in a quote, normal year when they sell tickets. So there could be some money lost there, but that's okay. If you're already losing millions of dollars, what's in it? Like this, it says $300,000. That doesn't say per team. That seems like total. Like, if we're breaking it down, that's like 30,000 a team in the American. Like, who cares, right? Am I reading that correctly? Because it says a source added that this postulation, the American Conference makes somewhere around 300,000 offense league championship. Pac-12, 750. Big 10, Big 12, ACC, just over a million. Like, does that seem for the entire tournament to you?
I think so.
So, that's not very much if you don't do it. Who cares, right? It's like, oh, I got this credit card where, oh, my minimum payment's $30. Like, whatever, I'm not going to pay it this month. Who cares? It's only $30, right? I need it for something right. else. So do you think the Mountain West would do it? Like, there's pros and cons. Like,
I think they will probably end up having the tournament. I don't know that they should necessarily, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, over the next couple of weeks, might realize that, you know, none of these teams have a good at-large chance anymore anyway, and we really do need the tournament to figure out who's supposed to go. So,
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guarantee there'll be a handful that don't get played. Like, that's my prediction. Do you have the same with that, or what?
There'll be a handful of conference tournaments across the country that
they don't do it. Like, we're just going to take our league champion, and then
selection. Yeah, I think they should. I think they should. I don't know if they will or not, or if they can or not, but I think they should.
All right, I think there'll be a couple. Like, I can see the Pac-12 doing it. Like, I can even see the Big Ten doing it, because I know there's money there, but, like, the Pac-12 league's not very good. Who can like, protect your champion? But there'll be a couple. It'll be interesting to see who does and who doesn't. But
have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We need to get some games this week. Power rankings, games last week, game this week. So, as always, Andy, introduce and tell people they need to hear this clearly because they're not going to listen to it all or they're going to miss some of it. What are the dates we pick these rankings for, just so people are aware?
We do these rankings for Sunday through Saturday. So the cutoff for, you know, the games that should be considered is, you know, games played through Saturday.
So what you see here is
reflective of that.
So we're saying that Utah State UNLV game, disregard the rankings because they're going to change wildly next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So can we start
I mean, they might change. We don't know. The rest of the games this week still need to get played, so we'll see what happens.
Trust me, Utah State's not being number two probably after losing to UNLV.
I mean, hey, if Colorado State loses both of their games to Boise State, I don't know that they're going to jump up to number two either, so we'll see.
Good point. All right, so we go in order. We'll go through games as they come through. So the bottom, first off, was I the only one who put New Mexico last?
No, there was one other entry had New Mexico last. So, no, San Jose State got most of the votes this week for last place. You know, even though they split with New Mexico,
as we called,
I thought it would have been closer.
So, like in that game itself, like I'm a serious question though: is New Mexico? They've lost UNLV. They're not very good this year. They have what, one conference win? Like, we joked, not joked, but we opined last week, well, they're not going to fire Paul Weir. Are they going to fire Paul Weir after losing to freaking San Jose State? They're 1-9. Like, I get extenuating circumstances, but
no, because people lose to San Jose State. Not all the time, obviously.
It's
but,
not
you
just
know,
that, but they're 1-9. They're not even competitive, remember? Like, they're not.
No, I know. I mean, yeah, I think that probably this season you're not going to see a change made. I don't know, though. It really has not looked good, and it does look at times like parts of the team, maybe all of the team, have kind of quit, you know, and just – or at least, you know, they get down big in a game, and you know, you don't see they finish with 40 points or something like that, and then you're kind of wondering, like, man, where was the fight? You know, did you at what point did everyone just kind of say, whatever, we lost this one?
That's part of it too. Like, at this point, should they like just pack it in? Like, they would have two more losses had they played Boise State. Like, going through all the losses, every loss is like by double digits except for like two. Like, the UNLV loss was by 7, and then every loss was by 10 or more points except for the one. I guess Nevada was 10, but like, they're giving up, they're not close. Like, I don't know what to make of this team. Like, I don't want to say you should fire and go with the coach, but your team is not good and not competitive, and if they're not trying, either just say we're done playing. But like, I think there's a serious consideration. Like, if they go, like, to see the games rest of the year, they might end up on a nice streak at the end, Wyoming and the Air Force. They could win, like, maybe two, maybe three of those. They might split with Fresno. But if they end up with just, like, 8 wins, or, like, they're, like, 8-16, like, that's their worst record in who knows how long without me looking it up.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, I get what you're saying, totally. And I guess, you know, it's a strange season. But at the same time, it's like, being in the conference, I feel like there's got to be some sort of a social contract here of like, look, we did this, we're doing this
for you
season.
We're doing it for you.
I don't know. Are you going to be able to finish the schedule out? Are you going to have this like super weird, uneven thing going on? What's your tournament going to look like? So I think that while I understand what you're saying, what is the benefit to still playing? It's like, you did also start the season, and if you're backing out now,
in Texas, and in Phoenix, and at Grand Canyon University,
then you should have said, no, we're not going to play this season.
But
you know what I mean?
It's like, money.
Well, sure, it's money. Then don't quit your season. if you're that money hungry and you're that greedy, don't call it in now. You already made the decision. You already put everyone through all this crap. Finish it out. You know, do what you... Because you made the players go through all of this. You did. And then to say, oh, well, we suck, so we're just going to stop. It's like, well, the heck was the point? We knew you weren't going to be that good. Why did you put the team through all of that? And not just cancel your season from the get-go if this was always, you know, on the table. Yeah. I get if something acute was to happen, you know, if there's like another big outbreak within the program or something and you want to shut down, fine. But, like, if you're just shutting down because you're like, yeah, we looked around and we're not going to make the tournament this year. Never mind. Well, then that's some pretty bad – I wouldn't want to play with that team again. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a team that I feel like I can trust and rely on. I don't know. Maybe I'm
– No, you're right. No, you get a good point. Like, finish what you started. But my point is, like, the coaching staff, it's like, what have they done? Like, in the game versus San Jose State, they lost. They gave up 50 in the second half. Like, they shot okay, but like, they couldn't, their main loss was due to the 3-point shooting, which wasn't very good, and a handful more free throws. But, like, San Jose State could have won by more. They were 47% from free throw, 11 of 23. If they made 18 of those, they'd have won by 20 points.
Yeah.
I'm just and saying, that's, like, it's not that like you lost bad to an equally bad, well, I guess not equally, but a team slightly better than you, and they're both really, really bad. Like, this team, like, coaching-wise, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they want to make a move. I know there's money issues and stuff.
No,
but
I wouldn't be shocked either. I think money would be the reason why it doesn't happen, you know, and that would make sense why. I still think, you know, there's probably some promise around, you know, wanting to make Paul Weir work at New Mexico, too. I think the leash on that is running out pretty quickly, though, in terms of believing that this is the guy for the program. I feel like this might be the guy who coaches the team while we look for the next real coach. You know, at this point, I think they might be entering that portion of the relationship, but I don't know that they necessarily make the move this offseason.
Well, if you look at what Craig Neal did his couple years there, like, if you look at his last 3 years, I know this year's not done, but like, even his first, like, even if you go through, like, okay, let's remove Craig Neal's first year with Steve Alford's players. That's kind of an anomaly a little bit. Like, he's barely above 500. Like, he was 17 and 15 wins. Paul Weir has basically equaled that with 19, 14, and 19. So if they get rid of Paul Weir, who was 17-14 his final year, and they go 8-6-15, how can they? I don't see how you can keep him around.
That's a good point.
That's my thought.
No, that's a good point.
So what do we have good to say about
Sam? Especially when you got, you know, Dave Pilipovich sitting right there. You've got an interim coach who, if you need to make a move, you've got a guy who can coach a Mountain West team.
So. I'm not saying in season. I don't think they do in season, but I could see out of the season.
No, probably not. But even if they do it off season and they don't want to put the money into doing a huge coaching search,
yeah,
1 year of an interim with, you know, with a guy like Pilipovich or somebody else on the staff maybe too. I don't know. He seems like he would be the first choice just because of his experience. But yeah, I do think that could give them some flexibility to make a move, but not a permanent one in the off season. So actually, yeah, I might be warming up to your idea here that Paul Weir might be in trouble. Now, what about Justin Hutson? Because he was a guy that I was kind of thinking might be in trouble with Fresno State. Because they started off, they had that really good first season under him, but they've struggled since. And they've struggled to keep guys in the program. And that's what's kind of concerning to me a little bit, was like the big offseason transfer exodus that they had. I mean, I know COVID and everything happened, but and the transfer restrictions are being kind of loosened, so there's a lot more player movement happening. But it seems like Fresno State in particular got hit with quite a bit of it, and it just kind of made me wonder, like, I don't know, what is the future? What's going on with this program? What is the identity? I think we talked about Fresno a little bit last week.
Yeah.
They're kind of the forgotten team.
Right? One of them. I think it's because we mentioned before with Larry, it's like, they brought in more guys they thought they would have eligible. And so it's like, crap, how do we figure... Like, the coach should know what they're doing, like who's going to play what and how good these guys are. But they have extra bodies, like a couple of guys we weren't even sure in our preview season stuff, early season, excuse me.
Right.
And so that's a problem, too. It's also only year three, so he's not going anywhere. Last year was a losing record. He took over Rodney Terry, who left for freaking UTEP during the conference tournament, which is really weird. Like, I'm out of here, I'm going to El Paso. And...
Yeah.
Now it's his guys, and so this year they're 5-6. I think next year is the real year you want to judge him, because again, getting all these new talent last year was great. They weren't expecting to have it all, which you would think, oh, that's a great thing. You have all these transfers to play now, but if they're not meshed, they haven't practiced enough, you can't practice as normal, because there's guys who transferred 2 weeks before. Oh, you're eligible, go play. Well, I don't even know who the coach is. I don't even know my teammate's first name. Like,
right.
I know three guys on the team. And so I think that's an issue where he'll have one more year, because last year wasn't great. This year's not going terribly, but they're also only 5-6.
Well, and they're younger than I'm giving them credit for, because I'm looking now, you know, because they got a lot of transfers, but they're younger guys too, you know, like Deion Stroud, who actually did the reverse Rodney Terry, right? Didn't he come from UTEP? Exactly. Yeah, he did. Okay, good. That joke lands. All right, so he's a sophomore. Orlando Robinson's a sophomore. Kyle Harding's a sophomore. Isaiah Hill, Junior Ballard, Jordan Campbell, Anthony Hall. I mean, this is a young team. So yeah, maybe I'm the one who's overreacting and not giving enough time for Justin Hutson here. But I guess it was just really jarring to see them go so quickly from 23-9 to 11-19. It's just like, ooh, whoa.
No, it is.
And now this season is, you know, a little bit of a struggle too. But yeah, I guess that happens when you're starting to build a program.
Looking at this year's team, like
fingerprint.
Look who they're beating. The teams they're playing and winning against are teams they should be they're better than. Like, they're better than Wyoming. They're better than San Jose State. Fresno Pacific.
They're better than Wyoming or not.
I guess they split Wyoming. Sorry, but I mean, like, the teams they're winning against mostly are teams they should be beating. Like, the Wyoming game, what was a 4-loss split. Like, that's my point. Like, they're beating teams they're as good as or better than.
All right. Hey, funny thing. I just kind of joking there that saying, you know, oh, I don't know if they're better than Wyoming. They're actually right next to each other in the KenPom rankings now.
So they split. Perfect. But that's my point. Like,
exactly, yeah.
Like, when they played, they got crushed by Nevada, Boise State. Like, they should probably sweep New Mexico. Like, Utah State, they'll probably lose both of those. They probably split Air Force because Fresno hasn't won a road game all year. But, like UNLV, they probably as right in that same range. But, like, they're a team where they're not losing. There's no loss. Outside of the margin of victory, which is – or margin of defeat, which isn't great for some of these games. That's my only real concern, is when they're losing to Colorado State by 18 points. CSU's a good team, or 21 points in game two. That's the bigger concern, where they're losing to teams they should lose to, which is fine, but they're getting blown out by those teams.
Yeah.
So they're number nine. Let's go back. We missed a team here. Who was the team?
We did. We missed Air Force. Well, yeah, we missed Air Force. We kind of missed San Jose State, I guess. But Air Force is nine.
Hey, Air Force won a game. Or excuse me, San Jose State won a game. Congratulations. They had five players in double figures in the 83-71 win. And they don't have Seneca Knight anymore. So he's at LSU. Is he even suiting up or trying to?
And Richard Washington was actually was out in that game too, which is interesting. That's, you know, right. He'd been their leading scorer, and then he's not in the game, and they win. It's like, what? I don't understand this team.
Four guys with 16 points each. Very balanced.
Yeah. Super, super balanced. Kind of crazy. Sebastian Mendoza with a 4-for-4 from three-point land, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so
a good win.
It's good for them, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Good for you.
Utah State shouldn't be celebrating that win, really, but San Jose State absolutely should.
All right, so who's next here? We mentioned San Jose, Fresno, Air Force. We move along.
Air Force at nine. Interesting thing with Air Force, kind of like Nevada was the last 2 weeks. Air Force is our weird team who is strangely unanimous in their position. So every single person chose Air Force to be number nine. It's the only unanimous pick we had this week was that Air Force is the ninth best team in the league.
That's funny.
So I always think that's fun. But so they're struggling. They keep stealing, you know, wins here and there, which is fun for Joe Scott's team. But I don't really see them.
They're nothing.
Becoming, you know, there's nothing to do. But they might get a sweep against San Jose State, and that could be nice for them, and then they'll be looking at 4-8 in the conference.
Good old 4-8. All right, let's get into the big game. UNLV is next on our list, and they're 7 at the moment, poised to move up. They beat Utah State on Monday night. They play again Wednesday, so we'll see how that game goes. 59-56. This game was ugly and tough to watch.
It was, yeah, it was so gross. Oh man, Utah State, it was just like
20 of 61 from the field.
Well, and the worst part is, you know, you hear 59 to 56, and you're like, oh, well, at least it was, you know, it was ugly, but at least it was close. No. It wasn't that good of a game, though. Utah State really had to come back at the end to even make it that close. Yeah. And then UNLV almost gave it away with, like, a bunch of sloppy, stupid plays.
35 total turnovers. It was ridiculously bad. The only good thing was that UNLV was shot 43% from three-point range. That's the only reason they won, because they shot 32% as well. They were brick after brick, except a couple guys from three-point range, like and Bryce Hamilton.
Caleb Grill did pretty well. Had a couple big shots at the end. But, oh, my God, Nickell Blake is never allowed to dunk again.
Never? Oh. You take away his dunk card?
I don't know. Well, I mean, come on. You miss the first one, and then you travel on the second one? And you give two turnovers in the last minute that almost cost your team the game on freaking dunks? Come on.
No, like this, like I don't get it. Like Nemus Keita, he only had 8 points, like his worst game of the year. First, he had 6 blocks. Good for him, but come on. You got to do something.
Right? Yeah, he had the weird stat line of like 8, 11, and 6. It's like, what the heck?
I know. Yeah.
It was a super weird game.
Yeah, it's a one off anomaly, and like, Was UNLV any defense doing anything impressive, you think, or is this Aggies just like?
Well, actually, their defense has been pretty good, surprisingly, right? Because you come in, you see, you know, Bryce Hamilton, David Jenkins, you kind of think, hey, this is a nice offensive team. Yeah. But since they came back from their break, over the last 5 games, they've allowed fewer than 60 points. Now, not all of those were against, you know, really good teams, but the defense has been on. They allowed 34 points only to St. Catherine. New Mexico, you know, we talked about the struggles with New Mexico, of course, but they didn't break 55 in either game. Benedictine Mesa was held to 45. So you're like, okay, whatever. It's those teams. But then they hold Utah State to 56. And granted, Utah State has been a slower playing well, I guess they're not that slow, but they've been in some lower scoring games, right? You had the San Diego State games that nobody broke 65 on either side in any of the games. So you've seen them in that. But UNLV's defense has actually been a little bit more, I guess, impressive than I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be a big problem, and it's been fine. The offense has been the bigger problem. You know, shots not falling like they need to. But Chekumbake Jong, man, he hung around with Namish Keita.
Totally.
You know, and that's something that UNLV is one of the few teams in the league that's set up to with a guy who can do that. You know, Nathan Mensah over at San Diego. At San Diego State. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who can. There might be a few others, but not a lot. But Chekumbake Jong is one of the guys who can do it. And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe you're seeing, right, Namish Keita with only 8 points instead of the 18 and 12 that you demand every night. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of surprising to see their defensive.
It's good.
It is good, but it's like when you see young teams that seem undisciplined because, you know, maybe they're turning the ball over too much or they're not shooting, they're taking bad shots. The defense is usually not the first thing that starts to come around, right? Because defense feels like one of those more disciplined, mature things that a mature team does. This team is like, man, you're still turning the ball over. You still can't, you know, you're still taking some weird shots or some bad looks, things like that. Your offense isn't always moving well, but hey, you're playing good defense, so that's nice. It's kind of a weird anomaly, but I don't know. This UNLV team, you wanted me to write them off. I'm still, you know, not complete. I'm not sold on them to where I was in the preseason.
No, there's no reason. It's one going to
be like a fifth place team, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe they could be a fifth place team. I don't think they're going to be any better than that.
Here's the thing: had they won the game, like their 3-point shooting was good, but they also shot. They're also very terrible at also 20-61 from the field. Like, think of this. They only made 7 2-point buckets.
Yeah, somebody was showing, I'm looking at KenPom right now. They were 22% from two-pointers and 43% from three-pointers.
7 of 31. Seven of 31 from two inside the arc. It's like they were debated. Like, it's wild. Like, had they been 40%, they'd won by 10 points easily.
Yeah, got a guy like Bryce Hamilton who ends up with 14 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 steals. Also 0-for-8 from 2-pointers and 7 turnovers.
I know. Like, I don't get it. And then also Jenkins Jr. bailing 4-13. It's like, this was a weird game to watch. A lot of misses. But when UNLV lined up for three, I'm like, oh, it's probably going in. They're doing well all night. So the next game they play is, I'm going to check the BPI because the BPI changes on this because it's game two. And was this game, hold on, was this in Vegas, right?
Yeah, okay. Thomas and Mack.
Thomas and Mack. Sorry, I don't care about home games anymore. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's tough. It's not like, you know, the... If you're not looking directly at the court, you might not know where they are.
All right. Do you want to guess the BPI?
Who's favored? Yeah, I would imagine Utah State is favored still.
What's the percentage?
Like 93?
No. It's a coin flip. 50.1.
No.
Yeah. Really? 50.1. That's
nuts. For UNLV and Utah State?
Aggies are favored by the slimmest of margins.
Oh, my word.
Vegas
okay.
has them well, only a 6-point favorite as well.
Just as folks, for our new listeners out there, this is a fun game we play where we try to predict ESPN's BPI predictions. Obviously, this is not pre-recorded, as you can tell from my
reaction. And you never look at it.
My reaction to my very bad guess. Yeah. Man, I got goosed on that one.
Ken Palm only has, they change it to have Aggies by 5. That's it.
Wow. Like, okay.
I'm going 80. Like, this -6, I'm taking Utah State all day if that's the case, man. If it's out there, 6 points, give me the Aggies, right? Is there any reason you believe that not an upset could happen, but, like, this game's even close in game two?
I mean, it shouldn't be, but
yeah, adjustments. The first
one shouldn't have been either. I think that there are Craig Smith is like a master of doing that, right? Of adjusting. I am surprised they didn't do it in the game against UNLV.
Make the baskets for him, Andy. He can't put it in.
No, he can't. That's a problem. That's the one thing he cannot do. But yeah, I think you're going to see guys coming out crisp. I mean, you could see a guy like Brock Miller come out and hit, you know, 5 first half threes and really just turn this thing on its head right from the get-go. That wouldn't surprise me at all. My own internal numbers looked like they've got Utah State by 10.
I trust you. This one. I trust the DPI in this one.
Well, you know, it's coming along. It's a work in progress, so that's good. But yeah, I'm looking here, and just based on, you know, scoring efficiency, stuff like that, the prediction model that I've got here, which, you know, is we're still figuring out how accurate it is, I suppose. But yeah, we've got Utah State pretty well favored in this one, so I'm going to go with that. I'm going to believe it. My system, we're looking at 67, so not quite as coin flippy as BPI. 67% confidence in that pick.
They should, they should win. Like, there's no reason from that.
They should. Yeah, they should.
But all right, let's move on to the next team here because we don't need to do a million things. We got Wyoming, the other forgotten team, who has now won 3 in a row. So then we back believing in Wyoming now at 10-5.
I guess, yeah. We went from 3, then they went down all to, you know, to 9th place. Now they're back up at 6th place. Yeah, and they got two good home wins against Nevada, who's a decent team. I think Wyoming and Nevada right there is kind of Wyoming, Nevada, UNLV is this nice middle tier of decent programs. I don't think any of them are getting up into the top 4, any of those 3 teams I just named. And I don't think any of those 3 teams are going to fall further than this 5-6-7.
Probably not.
Trio either. So I think you're going to see Nevada, Wyoming, and UNLV kind of switching places in the middle of the pack here. But I think you kind of got your top 4 set, your middle 3 set, and your bottom 4 set. Fresno State. I'm putting you in the bottom 4.
Seriously. All I got to say is Marcus Williams. He's that good.
He is so good, man. He is great.
He had 28 in the game, the second win. Like, he is probably going to get freshman of the year unless there's somebody I'm blatantly missing. Like, he could be first team guy maybe. But, like, he hits his threes. He didn't do much of anything else, at least in this game. But, like, the way he could score, I know he's only getting, like, about, 15 a game. But, like, he has a chance occasionally. Like, the Nevada game was probably, I think, his highest scoring game. No, he had the 30 versus Denver. But, like, he's had 20-plus points, like, 4 or 5 times this year. He doesn't do a ton of anything else, unfortunately, at least yet, because he's a freshman. So he's like, I'm just going to score. Like, he shoots the ball well from decent three-point range, almost 50% from the field. Like, he's a guy where I could see, like, similar to CSU, if he goes off for 25 points, could knock off, like, if I'm going to look at their peak, I guess at Utah State losing, I could see them maybe beating Utah State, but just because they're a little bit different teams. Like, they could beat CSU possibly. Like, they haven't played them yet, which I'm double-checking as I say that they could maybe beat them. I'm like, wait, they've played it.
Well, I mean, so that's a rivalry too, you know, so you never count anything out in one of those.
But, like, with the way he plays, like, he's a guy who can keep them in a couple more games than you wouldn't think they would. And imagine, like, the future is good for, like, next year and a couple years going, assuming he sticks for a while. Like, also Linder, their new head coach, they have a couple things going. Like, sweeping Nevada is a big deal. Like, San Diego State's an interesting series. I'm not going to predict them to win either. But, like,
me either.
Aztec's lot has kind of stumbled a touch. So it's like, maybe he goes off for 27 and it's an interesting game. But so it's like a team where you have the one good guy. If he has a huge game, maybe they'll knock off somebody they shouldn't. And these two Nevada games are two teams they shouldn't have beat because Boise, they got beat by 20 twice. You know what I mean? They lost to Fresno by 20 points. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not banking on this team. And what team wants to be your main guy's a freshman? He's not like a 5-star guy at Kentucky or Duke or something, leading the way. Or Zion. Well,
you know what I mean? And I mean, they still do have Hunter Maldonado
around,
who was like their do everything. Like, they were relying on him for every. He was like a one man team for the past 2 seasons, really. And now all of a sudden they bring in Marcus Williams too, and you see, like, oh wow, you put a few competent guys together with a new head coach who seems to know what's going on, and hey, you got yourselves a middle-of-the-pack team, which for the first season of a rebuild is great.
No, it is. So, we'll see how they go. They're fine. They could be fighting for a bye, possibly, maybe. Because
really, I think they could win a game in the NCAA or in the Mountain West tournament, too, again. You know, just one, maybe this time, hopefully. Not too many.
Here's what I'm thinking for them, though. They got San Diego State, CSU, Utah State. That's six games. They might win two of those, at best, I'm thinking. So they'll probably go back to where we thought they were. They'll be sitting, like, at 10-10, possibly, maybe 11 or 12. Oh, I'm sorry, my math is wrong. 10-5. So, like, maybe they win one versus CSU. Like, maybe. But I can see them also being 10-11 by the time they play New Mexico. Like, they might have 11 wins, 12 wins at most by that point. So, hopefully we're surprised that they can pull off a win or two, but they're going to be back probably. Like, if they keep losing, they'll be dropping a spot here or there. All right, next game is, we kind of mentioned Nevada. They lost twice. Let's just move on. They're fifth, okay? Is that good?
Yeah, they're, like, very solidly fifth. Grant Sherfield's great. Desmond Kraybridge is pretty good. Warren Washington's coming along. Go! Good job, Nevada. Good luck in your next series against UNLV. I know you really want to win it.
Yeah, end of the week. So that's
good. Well, yeah. So Sunday, Tuesday. So for everybody listening, the UNLV Nevada games that are happening Sunday, Tuesday, will not be included in our next set of power rankings.
So Nevada is not going to have. It's so great.
Nevada's not going to have anything new. So they will almost surely stay at fifth place.
Again. Well, they could drop UNLV beating Utah State, remember?
They could. Yeah, they could. We'll see what – I know we have some UNLV haters on the staff. Just you, pretty much.
What?
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. You were giving them some grief for the start of the season, and you kept them pretty low for a while. But you didn't do it this week. So.
No, I had to. I kept them where they're at. Like, they're good. Hey, they get the respect they deserve, and the effort they put on the court reflects in my voting. So, just saying, okay. If you play well, you get ranked well.
I heard every word of that sentence.
I'm just saying, if you play well, you'll get ranked well. If you're not, you're not going to. All right, so yeah. Next up on the list we have is San Diego State. So this is where we get to the top four. Which
San Diego State number four. Ooh.
Well,
how do you feel about that?
I'm trying to remember why I put them on my poll. Maybe I should keep my poll up here, too. Here's the part of the reason they got swept by Utah State, but then they also beat Air Force twice, and nobody cares about that. I guess the good thing, Matt Mitchell came back and he played healthy. We thought he'd be sitting out this series and the next, but he is actually out there and he played. He didn't start. I'm trying to see him. I'm looking at one of the box scores, but he's been bringing back in limited fashion. I tweeted out some highlight he did, which is pretty nice.
He had a good game against in the second one. I think he had 10 points and 14 minutes. 6-7 rebounds.
That's what I was looking at. So he's slowly coming back in. So that's good. But it's like, honestly, did you move them up for beating Air Force? No, I doubt it, right?
Well, I had them at third last week, so I didn't move them up. But I didn't move them at all. They stayed at third for me. I've had CSU at fourth the last couple weeks. So no, I did not move them up for the Air Force wins did not change my perception of San Diego State at all.
Same.
And I'm not sure that they really should have, other than we know Brian Dutcher hates playing there.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, If nothing else, it showed me that they've stopped whatever bleeding was happening, maybe, and that the alarm bells don't need to be ringing. I think they're going to go through, and I think they're going to. It's Wyoming this week, yeah. So yeah. On Thursday and Saturday this week, I think they're going to win both of those games pretty handily. Not quite as bad as the Air Force games, but maybe better than the Nevada ones.
Yeah, right? But what I want to see is them getting, like you mentioned, their bleeding's kind of stopped. They beat them by. What, 30 each time, just about? 98-61, 91-59. Wyoming game, probably they should win. It might be a touch interesting, but they got Wyoming, New Mexico, San Jose State. They'll be on an 8-game winning streak by the time they play Boise State, I'm guessing. They'll be sitting at 19-4, series finale, right?
That could be a 10-game winning streak, right? Because they got two already.
Oh, yeah, eight from now.
The Air Force wins.
Sorry,
so
yes.
Eight more. Yeah. Yeah, they could be at a 10-game winning streak. You could have Boise on like a 20-game winning streak.
Told you, hey.
That?
What'd I tell you, man?
Hey.
Nobody believed me.
You called it.
Just saying. for the football guy, he knows some hoops a little bit, I guess.
That's right. Now,
we got CSU, right?
CSU, yeah. I want to talk about because they – well, actually, let's go to Utah State because CSU and Boise are playing this week.
That's fair.
So we can break those down together maybe a little. So Utah State, though, going back to you being a football guy who knows about basketball, you picked Utah State to win the conference this
year. It's not over yet. Come on.
It's definitely not over yet.
Be quiet on the ones I get wrong. Come on.
Well, no, but I just – is this team – now that you've seen them, you know, they were on a streak. They've lost. Do you still believe in them after this loss to UNLV? That's the reason I brought up your pick.
No, I do.
trying to frame this, Jeremy.
I hear you. No.
Not just trying to poke you in the eye.
It was their worst performance by far.
Worse than the South Dakota State game?
What's South Dakota State's record? Really quick, I want to take a peek. But, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Their second worst game possibly. They're South Dakota State right now sitting at 10-3. The margin.
But I mean, they lost by like 30
points. I know. 83-59. I get it. I would say this performance is rare from what happened. Like, you're not going to.
I agree with you that it's their worst, by the way.
Yeah, because they're shooting. Like, they shot 30%. Come on. Not even 30%. What was it? 32% we talked about? What was it? Yeah, 32% from the field. That's not going to happen again. Like, their bench scored 4 points total. Barstow was the only guy who got on the board. Like, you had, what's his name, Steven Ashworth play 20 minutes and go over. Like, they were out-rebound, I think. Was it here? I'm double-checking. No, they had more rebounds. But, like, 17 turnovers, too many fouls. Like, no, 12 fouls, whatever. Not actually not a ton. But when you have 5 by one guy and you have 12 total fouls, that's not good with Worcester. But it's like, well, like, it's their worst game by far shooting-wise, I would say. And so I do not expect this to happen again. But also, one thing to look at, they shot this bad, but let's look at some positives. Like, UNLV's offense wasn't very good either inside the arc, as we mentioned before. So it's not like the – like, Nemus had 6 blocks. They forced 18 turnovers. They had 8 steals in the game. Well, they did give up 13 steals on their own. Like, there were some – defense was fine in this game, probably pretty good. It's just they could not buy a bucket.
Utah
that's the
State's
problem.
A top 10 defense in the country.
Like, so that's my point. Like, there is concern because the matchup with when Keita goes up against another big guy, he can struggle, which he did in this game. But I think part of it is like they just had an off shooting night and they were still in the game and could have won because of their defense.
Yeah.
So that's my point. Like they're going to be fine. Like I'm not going to count them out.
So they're
going to
be
fine.
All right. Perfect.
And they have really quick their next game. They have UNLV, as we mentioned, UNLV again. Okay. So.
And then next week against Fresno, which will be another chance. Now, the other thing to consider here, right, they're 9-2. They've already got San Diego State and Colorado State out of the way.
Split, yeah.
Right? They've got the series with Boise and Nevada still to come and Wyoming, so they end on kind of a tougher note. Mm-hmm. But they've got a good record banked. Now, Boise State is undefeated, but they haven't played any of the teams yet. True. So if they start to stumble a little bit, Utah State is still in a
good position.
Still in a good position, yeah.
You
got
good?
I got a frog stuck in my throat there. No, we're fine, though.
But you're right. Like they already knocked out some tough opponents.
Right, and so, you know, when we say that this race is not over, even though Boise State might have a game or two in hand, that could change pretty quickly given that Boise State's about to start their, like, the meaty part of their schedule this week, starting with Colorado State.
Yeah, we mentioned also Boise.
So how do you see
– Boise's number one, by the way, if you hadn't noticed yet.
Boise is number one, yeah, in case you hadn't put that together yet. In case – yeah, the title of the article, by the way, is Boise State Alone at the Top. But
finally,
can they stay there? That's the big question, right? Now that they're finally here, they finally made it to the top. I don't know if you saw in the polls, in the national polls this week, they're like right on the outside looking in. They're the number 26 team in the AP poll this week.
Next week.
Right? Next week they'll be in it if they win.
Sweet.
So are they going to win both these games this week?
That's a tough question.
Right, it's tough.
It is. Because you're right, because when you look at the overall record, like you mentioned, like the rest of their games, outside of the UNLV series, I could see them losing at least one game in any of the series, including Nevada. Because Nevada's good enough to maybe steal a game. Maybe. But CSU's weird because they beat teams and lose by 20. Like they lost to San Diego State back and beat San Diego State. It is on the road.
Right.
The way the Rams have been playing, I think a split is most likely. All right, BPI really quick. Who's favored? Go.
Boise.
Yes. What percentage?
56.
Oh, you're closer. 58%.
Oh, hey, that's the best one I've done, I think, so far.
They're only favored by 2 for Vegas, so.
And KenPom, it looks like it's a 1-point spread. So, you know, this one, it's going to be close. Yeah, I think a split.
Very possible.
And because Boise State also, you know, they've won all of these games, but there's been a couple close calls in here. You know, they had that game against San Jose State where they only won by a point. There was a game against Air Force where, like, they trailed at halftime or they were, like, barely ahead at halftime. I mean, most of the games they're running away with, no problem. The BYU game was close. So, you know, they've had some times where they've looked, let's say, vulnerable, I guess. I don't know. It's Boise State, so it's, I don't want to say they're like a juggernaut. We're not talking about Gonzaga here, but
they're beating a bunch of bad teams, and now they face an above-average team. We'll see what they can do.
Exactly. BYU is the best win by far on here. Those two blowouts against Wyoming on the road are nice as well. But so far, that's really all that's on this resume for Boise State. So, yeah, this is going to be a huge time for them to at least grab one of these two wins. I think even just looking ahead to next week when they play Nevada, you know, you've got 4 road games in a row. If you split those and you take 2 of 2, I think Boise State is still in a decent spot for an at-large bid, but it's going to be a lot tighter as they go down the stretch. And those final 4 games against Utah State and San Diego State are going to be massive. I mean, that is just like some scheduling gold right there.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Boise State finishing on this. It's just, it's crazy. Like, you see, we talked about this months ago that this is how the schedule could play out, is that, you know, they could be, that Boise State could win out up until those Utah State, San Diego State series. Now we're seeing Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV. There's some life in those teams.
Not enough, I'm not think.
As well, but not enough to steal 1 or 2 wins. You know, I don't think anyone's sweeping Boise State in these series, but I'm less confident that Boise State's going to be 20-1 when they, you know, make it to San Diego.
I
guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're probably right, but like, I still see them sweeping UNLV, likely sweeping Nevada, likely. But when you cumulative all the games, like those 6, like they're probably losing just 1 of those. And it's not coming against UNLV.
And I think it's going to be the split. You know, I think I'm with you that I think the split against Colorado State seems right. So, okay, so think about this then. I just want to know, you know, let's get a little preview of what your vote would be like. So let's say San Diego State does what they need to do, and they beat up on Wyoming 2 times. Boise and Colorado State split, and Utah State wins the second game of their series against UNLV and looks good. You know, looks like they're back in form. Who do you vote for? Who's your number one? Are you keeping Boise on top? Would you go Utah State? Would San Diego State jump up?
Okay, hold on. So you mentioned, obviously, Utah State splits. Boise splits, right?
Yeah, so Boise and Colorado State split, and then San Diego State and Utah State win their remaining games this week. Oh. How do you vote? The top 4. Because it's tough for me. I'm not even sure. I'm thinking about it myself.
And Boise splits. Here's the thing. Utah State's not number 1 no matter what.
Okay. All right, so that's interesting.
The UNLV losses, they lost this week. That loss was too bad for me to move them up. Like, I don't I should recall where I put them. I don't recall where I voted. I'm pretty sure I put Boise, Utah State. I'm 95% sure. First off, how many people voted for Boise number 1? Was it unanimous?
It was not. There was one team. Let's see. Let me pull this up here. There was one first place vote for Colorado State, I believe.
Josh, what are you doing?
Let me pull this up. There was one first place vote for Colorado State and one first place vote for Utah State, okay, which might have been you. I mean, that sounds like you. What? No, that could have been Sam.
Could have been possibly. I started to pull up Marie. I can pull up my rankings if I see her there because I know I voted first this past week. But
I think the fact that we don't know who we voted. Well, I know who I voted.
First, I forget, like, sometimes.
I think it just tells you how close this top four is, though. That, you know, it's like, oh man, I could have put this team number one, or maybe that team number one, or maybe they were two. Yeah. Or, you know, it's like these four teams are jam packed in here, and it's like, it's awesome. I think it's good for the league. Totally. I think that I see some people who are like, oh, the Mountain West is weak this year because the bottom is so weak. It's like, well, whatever. Mid-major leagues have weak bottoms, but having four competent teams at the top and like three decent teams, I could see Nevada, Wyoming, or UNLV all ending up in an NIT if they wanted to.
If it's around. You know,
I think it is. I think the last we've heard, the NIT is still on, but no one cares about it. No one's really like,